I always appreciate Dan giving me the opportunity to preach. I love to preach, and I just thank him so much for giving up his pulpit for a Sunday occasion for me to preach. Let us look at our scripture passage for the day, which is found in John's Gospel. Now, I want you to notice the humor in this passage as we go along, because there's a great deal of humor. Well, look at it real closely. I think you'll see it. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son who was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son. He was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we don't know. Or who opened his eyes, we don't know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they had feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was of Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. And therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you didn't listen. Why? Do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples yourselves?" May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this, his holy word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Years ago, I heard a story that I was reminded of as I wrote this sermon. I love this story. It's about the little girl who always loved to go to Sunday school. And she had learned all these wonderful Bible stories, and she'd go back home and tell her parents about it. She just loved going to Sunday school. Well, she was in her regular school classroom one day, and the teacher was talking about whales. And she said, "You know, in spite of what the Bible says, whales have big mouths, but their throats are narrow, and they really can't swallow a person down in their stomach. It just wouldn't happen." And the little girl looked up at her and said, "Well, the whale swallowed Jonah down into his stomach." And she said, "Why do you believe such a thing? Whales can't do that. They can't swallow a person because their throat's too narrow." She said, "Well, swallowed Jonah. Jonah went down in his stomach." And she said, "Well, how do you know?" And she said, "Well, I tell you what. When I get to heaven one day, I'll ask him myself." And the teacher said, "Well, what if he went to hell?" And she said, "Well, then you'll ask him." Now, here's a little girl who believed. There's no change in her mind. What a classic story this is from John. The Pharisees were up to what they were always doing, and that is trying to find something about Jesus that they could get him in trouble. They heard every word he said. They watched everything he did, everything they scrutinized. They looked at him so carefully, trying to find just anything they could to get him in trouble, to have him arrested, and hopefully have him killed. They looked at him so closely, it's kind of like the people who run for president or who run for any elected office. You know how we just pick them apart. We look at everything they do and everything they say and turn over every rock and try to find something wrong with them if we possibly can. Why anybody want to run for office, I don't know, because we play that game all the time. But there's one big difference between people who run for political office and Jesus, and that is that Jesus was without sin. He had no fault, and so they could not find anything wrong. But they didn't give up. They kept on digging, kept on looking, kept on searching, trying to find something about Jesus that they could hold against him. Well, in that day, they believed that a physical illness or an emotional illness was caused from sin. And so quickly, Jesus dispelled that myth when he said, "This man was not born blind because of his sin, nor was it the sin of his parents." And then the Pharisees dug even deeper. They said, "Well, how in the world could such a thing happen? How could he be blind and now be able to see when you're nothing but a sinner, Jesus? Because you work on the Sabbath and you do all these things, you're just a sinner." And the Pharisees were just They just couldn't figure it out. They were just mystified. How could this young man be blind one minute and see the next? They had seen him out. They knew he had been blind, and now he could see. And they kept on pushing. So they went to his parents, and they said, "How can your son see? How did that all work out?" And the parents said, "Look, our son is old enough. You go ask him yourself." So they went over to the son, and they said, "How is it that you were blind and now you can see? It couldn't have been the sinner that did it. How did it happen?" And the young man looked at the Pharisees, and I love what he said. He said, "I don't know whether this man's a sinner or not. There's only one thing I know. Only one thing I know. I once was blind, and now I see. I was blind, but now I see. I don't understand that. I couldn't tell you to save my life. But just imagine what it must have been like to be born blind and now you could see for the very first time. Can you imagine how exciting that must be for somebody who's never been able to see to all of a sudden see people and trees and things and all these things around him?" He didn't ask what Jesus' credentials were, did he? He didn't ask for a background check. He didn't know much about Jesus at all. But he knew one thing, and that is that Jesus had worked a miracle in his life because he had been blind, and now he could see. In essence, what the young man was saying is, "Look, I'm not a great theologian. I'm not a biblical scholar. I don't pretend to understand all the mysteries of God. But there's one thing I do know. I used to be blind, and now I see." There was a friend of mine who told me a story a couple of Sundays ago that I'd heard before but had forgotten about. The story of a man who was a recovering alcoholic, and he had been converted to the Christian faith, had a very dramatic conversion experience. And he was witnessing, sharing his faith with one of his former drinking buddies one day, and he was telling him about the miracle in his life, about how he had been completely transformed. And this former drinking buddy said, "Oh, you don't believe all that miracle stuff now, do you?" He said, "For example, you don't believe that Jesus really turned water into wine, do you?" And the man said to him, "You know, I don't know whether Jesus turned water into wine or not. But I know one thing. Jesus turned my liquor into furniture, and that's a big enough miracle for me. I don't understand. I don't understand all of that. I don't pretend to understand how it's possible. All I know is I'm a new person. I'm not the person I used to be." You see, Jesus can take us, scars and all. He can take us no matter what's happened in our life, and he can make us and mold us into something new. We'll have new spiritual sight. We'll be able to see like we've never seen before. We won't understand it, but we'll know it's true. We'll know it's true. Many of you have heard of Nicky Cruz. He's written several books. Former gang member in New York City, who started a mission in New York for gang members and for street people and for others in that part of New York City. One day, a young woman stumbled into his mission. She had been in a drunken stupor, and she had fallen asleep in her bed smoking a cigarette, and her mattress caught on fire and badly burned her face. And she came in desperately seeking help, and he saw her medical condition, and quickly he and his staff took her to the hospital and made sure she got the care she needed. She had to stay there for weeks, but every day they went to visit, and every day they went to share the love of Christ with her. And when she got out of the hospital, she came to visit the mission again, and she and Nikki sat down and talked. And Nikki said to her, "You know, I believe you're more beautiful than you've ever been before." Even though her face was badly disfigured, he said, "I believe you're more beautiful than you've ever been before because of the love of Christ in your heart, because you're a whole new person, beautiful on the inside and on the outside." I'm telling you, Jesus can take us, scars and all. It doesn't matter where we've been. It doesn't matter what we've done. He can take our life and make it into something new. And we're not going to understand it. We're not going to be able to give an explanation for it. All we know is it's going to happen, and we're not going to be the same again. The Pharisees pushed this young man. They kept on pushing, and he looked him straight in the eye, and he said, "Fellas, I don't understand. I promise you, I don't understand all this. The only thing I know is I used to be blind, and now I see." That's enough for me. That's all I need to know. I used to be blind, and now I see. Some of you out there this morning need just such a miracle in your life, don't you? Perhaps you thought there's no way you could ever be a new person. There's no way you could ever leave the burdens of the past behind. There's no way you could get out of that vicious cycle that you're caught up in, or that dysfunctional family situation, or there's no way you could get away from that addictive disease. There's just no way, you think. But let me tell you something. You may not understand how it happens, but Jesus can take your life no matter what, no matter where you've been, and no matter what you've done, and no matter what you've said. He can take your life and He can make you into something new. He can give you spiritual sight that you never, ever imagined that you could have. There is no situation in life so dire, so desperate, so bad that Jesus can't transform it and make it into something new. I graduated from high school in Warner Robins, Georgia. Some of you may know where that is. It's really an Air Force town, a town built around a large Air Force base. And at the high school I went to, many of the students we affectionately referred to as Air Force brats, because either their mom or their dad were in the Air Force, and most of them only stayed a year or two and they moved away. Very transient community. And there were some really great kids who were Air Force brats, but there were also some that were just troublemakers, that's all. Well, there was one kid in our school who was not an Air Force brat, but he was more than willing to give them all the trouble they wanted. He was the meanest, toughest kid I have ever seen in my life. I mean, I would not have wanted to be in a dark alley with him, I can tell you. He reminded me of those mafia people you see on television. Well, as fate would have it, he started dating my best friend, who was a member of my dad's church, active in our youth group, and one of the finest Christian girls I've ever known. Wow, everybody in town who knew about it was shaken up, and people were coming to me and said, "Troy, can't you talk them out? Can't you do something? Can't you go and talk to this girl and straighten her out and tell her what a big mess she's making out of her life?" And, well, you know what it's like to be a teenager. You can imagine how far I got with that conversation. Well, they continued to date, and they fell in love. And I happened to be there the Sunday when this young man, who didn't even look the same anymore, had a suit on probably for the first time in his life. His hair was cut and combed nicely, and he walked down the center aisle of the church, and he said, "I want to give my life to Jesus Christ." You see, he had grown up in a terrible family, a dysfunctional family. It's no wonder he was so mean. It was no wonder that he was always in trouble. But when he met this girl, she accepted him just as he was. She loved him, and she introduced him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "I want that for myself." The last I heard, I lost contact with him, but the last I heard, he was a loving father and husband. He was a very successful businessman in Warner Robins, Georgia. And more importantly, he was a committed Christian. And I can guarantee you that when he walked down the aisle of that church, he could not have explained how all that happened. He could not have said, I don't understand. I promise you, I don't know how I came from here to here. But all I know is I'm not the same person anymore. All I know is I'm different. I've been transformed. I've been made into something new. I have no doubt in my mind that the same thing can happen to us. You know, the miracles of the Bible didn't just happen in Bible days. They happen today. There's still people being transformed. There's still people being led. There's still people being made into new persons. In fact, if you change the details of these stories I've told you, they could be our stories. They could be our own stories. For Jesus can take us wherever we are, whatever situation we're in. They can bring us up out of the darkness and into the light. There is no sin so bad, no situation so complex that Jesus cannot save us from it. Imagine, if you can, how the young man felt who had been blind and now could see. Don't you imagine he wanted to stand up on top of a building and shout it from the rooftops? I was blind, but now I can see. Can you imagine the indescribable joy in his life when he had gone from the point of blindness to the point of sight? I've often thought of all the senses. The one that I think I'd have the hardest time if I lost would be my sight. But if you've been born blind and you've never seen before, and now you can see, can you just imagine how filled with joy and how filled with appreciation he was? He couldn't explain it. He couldn't tell the Pharisees how it happened. He just knew it had. He just knew he could see. And that's all that really mattered, wasn't it? Let me close with this story. I sat one day and talked to a minister friend of mine who told me a little of his life story. He said, "You know, I grew up in a ghetto in the worst part of town you can imagine." He said, "Nobody left my part of town. Nobody left there." He said, "You were either a member of a gang or you into dealing drugs or crime of one kind or another. You just didn't leave my neighborhood, that's all." He said, "My four closest friends, let me tell you about them. Two of them are in prison for the rest of their lives. One of them was killed by the police as it was in the act of committing a robbery. And the fourth one is a hopeless drug addict." But he said, "There was a young minister who came to our community who believed in us and who loved us and who told us about the love of Christ. And who said to us, 'You know, you don't have to live like this. You don't have to stay in this place. You can rise above it. You can be a new person if you just want to be.'" And I thought, "Oh, no, there's no way. Nobody leaves this place. I can't be a different person. It's just not going to happen. It's not meant to be." But one day he said, "You know, I don't know what came over me. But I asked this young minister to pray for me. And guess what? We knelt on the sidewalk, on the busy sidewalk while people were walking by, and he prayed for me, and he prayed that Christ Jesus would come into my life and I would be made into a new person." And he said, "Troy, the only way I can describe it is like somebody had plugged me into an outlet in the wall, and it was like electricity was going through my whole body." He said, "I could hardly contain myself." And he said, "That night when I went to sleep, I had a dream. And in that dream, I heard the voice of Jesus just as clearly as I hear your voice today. And the voice of Jesus said to him, 'It's time to come home. It's time to come home.'" As I close this sermon today, let me ask you, are you weary? Are you tired? Are you frustrated with life? Are you in this cycle that you just can't seem to get out of? We serve a Jesus who says, "It's time to come home." We may not understand how it happens, but one thing we know, that when the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is in our life, we'll no longer be blind. But instead, we will see. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, our minds simply can't comprehend it. We don't know how you could love us so much to send Jesus to take our lives and make us into something new. But like the man born blind, the one thing we know is that you can take us when we're blind and you can enable us to see. And that's a big enough miracle for us. Amen.